presence of this word and against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So this wickedness case are in heavenly places. And you need to get this. I agree.
Is the fact
but where
that
you are seated,
you and
Christ,
I must
Ephesians
must
1 is still
that.
Far
okay, so
above
to a believer,
all principality and power,
maybe
and might and dominion and every
say,
name that is named,
not
only in
this
world,
right?
This
but is
in the one to come. So where you are is higher. So we don't need the confusion. We don't need to relate with God as though some things were not in place. All right, so first case.
Place.
Second
right,
case
so
really.
First case.
Second
and
case
you
really
need to get this.
Is
and
the
you need
fact
to get this.
That you and I must understand that. Okay, so I'm talking to a believer, and then I say, maybe I want to address marriage, and I say, this is not new Christian stuff, all right? This is marriage. These are real issues in marriage. Not all them new Christian stuff. No, the person you're talking to about his or her marriage is new creation. So you have to address the marriage from the angle of a new creation. This is finance, it's real core issue. This is sense, is serious sense, it's not new Christian stuff. No, as long as a person is born again, that person is a new Christian, that's the foundation. Everything is built on that. I'll give you this instance. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. So Paul has a lot of things to deal with these guys, as in like stuff to deal with. Chapter 3 of, you know, 1 Corinthians, Paul says, I cannot talk to you as unto spiritual. I can only talk to you as unto carnal, even as unto babies in Christ. You guys are babies. I mean, Paul, you know, not like he dissed them, but I mean, he had to say, you guys are carnal, you're fleshy, you're too body rude and sense rude. Now, if some of us were Paul, that letter would have ended in chapter 3. You guys are just so babyish. I cannot share any deep stuff with you, so I hereby drop my pen. And then the end of the book. But Paul wrote from chapter 3 down to chapter 16. Anybody got what I just said? Paul shows forbearance. He says, yes, you're babies. Yes. I can't deal with deep stuff with you, so I'm going to deal with little stuff with you. But oh my goodness, spiritual, you know, energy, I've invested so much, I'm not patient, I really, you know, while I'm at it, let me say that. Have you ever, maybe you said or heard someone say, you know, I can't pastor, I'm not a patient person. You know, it's just so amazing. That means we've relegated the fruit of the Spirit called patience to pastors. Every believer has a fruit of the Spirit. So every believer, not even, you know, because some feel when I'm an evangelist, I say it as it is. That means we've relegated the fruit of the Spirit called patience to pastors.
Jesus lived with
every believer has a fruit of
3.5 years. That was patience. No evangelist is as evangelist as Jesus Christ. All right, someone say, but me, I'm a prophet. We always just say it as God reveals it to us. There's no prophet like Jesus Christ. And he had patience, and he had long-suffering, and he had forbearance. All right, so don't say these kind of things and say, you know, patience is a pastoral gift, you know, as if it's not a character of the Holy Ghost. So, but back to what I was saying, you know. So we need to understand that Paul, first thing that is interesting, follow this. In chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says they were carnal. All right, and he addresses the fact that there was sectarianism. They had sects. I'm of Paul, Apollos, of Cephas. That spilled to chapter 4. By chapter 5, Paul was addressing a guy who was coming to church with his father's wife, who was sleeping with his mother-in-law. All right, and then he was bringing her to church. So sleeping with mother-in-law, and then they were coming to church. Paul addressed it. By chapter 6, Paul was addressing the fact that they were taking themselves to court. It was like, how could a believer? I mean, it's better to defraud yourselves than to take yourselves to court. By chapter 7, they had to ask Paul, is it okay to touch, you know, babes? You know, I'm tempted. I mean, can we touch ourselves whether we're married, you know, not married? And Paul had to address that in chapter 7. By chapter 8, Paul had to address food offered to idols because some believers didn't understand the place of God versus idols and they were eating it, not understand the difference.
All right, by chapter 9, Paul had to address the fact that they were giving to other ministry gifts, like Peter, and they were not giving to him in as much as he is the founder of the church there. By chapter 10 again, it goes again to address the issue of food offered to idols, helping them to put it in perspective. By chapter 11, he had to deal with order in the home, first of all, and then started talking about those guys that would eat the entire communion meal before the rest of the guys came to church. He said, why can't you just eat in your homes and come here? You know, and then some of you get drunk on food that the whole church was supposed to eat and fellowship together. And then by chapter 12, some of you get drunk on food that the whole church was supposed to eat and fellowship together. And then by chapter 12, he was talking about the abuse. You know, some will begin to say, oh, Jesus is Lord. And then they were confused about the operations of gifts of spirit. By chapter 13, he started talking to them about the balance of the love walk. Don't you see that this seemed to have been a problematic church? Every chapter seemed to have been addressing something. And he had to tell them, listen, if you have tongues, you could speak tongues of men and of angels. You don't have love, you're zero. You could have faith to move mountains. You could prophesy, zero. I mean, without love, he addressed love work. By chapter 14, he had to teach them the balance of tongues and interpretation of tongues. He said, I would rather speak 5 words in my understanding so that someone would be edified and I just blast off 1,000, you know, words in tongues and nobody gets me. And I was talking about, you know, ministering in tongues. By chapter 15, he had to address people saying that Jesus is not resurrected. There's no resurrection. Every chapter, something had to be addressed. Paul could have just said, you guys are just too insolent. You guys are just nasty. I don't have time. But guess what? Before he began to address anything about the Corinthian church, in chapter 1, beautiful place, and I need to read that. So in 1 Corinthians, you know, the first chapter, oh dear Lord, very interesting. So Paul says, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ, called to be saints, with all the people that in every place call upon the name of the Lord, both Paul knew was going to address issue. Now, yeah, the book wasn't written in chapters, okay? It was that writes his letter to new creation, irrespective of habits or character, irrespective of what needs to be addressed. There's the image of God for the believer. There's how God sees you. There's how God writes his letter. Paul is writing still. Irrespective of, you know, the fifth verse. All right, the fourth verse. I thank my God always on your behalf. Because of the grace that God has given you in Christ. That in everything you are enriched by him in utterance and in knowledge. Whoa, they are enriched. Even as the testimony of God is confirmed in you. How so, Uncle Paul? How so? But Paul is not writing because of what he heard about them. He's saying this because of who they are. Praise God. This is just exciting. This is interesting. All right, Paul says, verse 7, you come behind in no gift and you're waiting for the Lord. Verse 8, he also will confirm you to the end so that you may be blameless. Wow. How many of us would know that you're about to address some nasty behaviors and you're still patient enough to say, hey, hi, new Christian. He doesn't let you know that God loves you. Many times we're just so enraged. We're filled with that thing we want to address. You're just like, get out of here. You, blam, 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 blam. You know, filling in the blank space all by yourself, you know. And this is not just peculiar with the letter to Corinthian church. We find Paul doing the same thing to the Ephesian church. Chapter 1 begins and it calls them blessed, that God has blessed us, that we're forgiven, that we have an inheritance, that we're accepted in the beloved. And the whole of chapter 1 ends. Then chapter 2 begins. And Paul begins to say, you're seated together with Christ. And then Paul begins to tell us You know, in chapter 2, that you're his workmanship created in Christ. It says we, you know, are laid on the foundation of the apostles and prophets to build a spiritual house for God. Chapter 3 begins to talk about the riches of God available in his assignment and through the church. And it ends, chapter 3, by saying God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we may ask a thing. Chapter 4, he enters and talks about, you know, the resurrection of Jesus, the ministry gifts, and the graces given to all of us. And then in the same chapter 4, don't lie to one another. Tell the guy that stole, tell him to stop stealing. Be nice to one another. Tender-hearted to one another. Forgive one another. I mean, Paul begins to talk to new creation folk. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. But you said they were seated. If they grieve him, they shouldn't be seated anymore, don't you think? But Paul laid foundation again with the revelation of who you are. He goes into chapter 5 again. He says, walk in love. Tells you to be filled with the Holy Ghost, begins to talk about husband, love your wife, and uses it to explain who we are in Christ. And chapter 6 talks about warfare. Find the same pattern with the Colossian church. Paul in Colossians 1 says so much about who we are. Colossians 2 follows the same light. We're complete in him. Hallelujah. Just exciting. Colossians 3 begins by saying, if you're seated together with him, set your mind on things above. But before Paul went too far, after one of the biggest revelations in the book of Colossians, where he told us that we are dead and our lives are hid with Christ in God. And, you know, that's chapter 3, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 4. He says, when Christ, that is your life, will appear, then you will appear with him in glory. Suddenly, Paul just says, put to death, therefore, the deeds of your body. Fornication, adultery, witchcraft. Oh my goodness, you said we're seated. Then you say that means for Paul to address an issue, he comes first from who you are. He reminds you of who you are. The case of identity cannot be overemphasized. The reality of who the... Listen, when you talk to a believer like you're talking to the believer. You don't look at a believer and say, what's wrong with you? Now, I believe you could say that asking a question, but you don't say that like, are you all right? Are you nuts? Not someone that Jesus died for. 2 Corinthians 3 says in verse 18 that we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of God, were changed into the same image from glory to glory. We're beholding as in a glass. We look into the mirror, we see the glory. It means the person in that mirror is the glory. Me in front of the mirror, I look into the mirror, I see the glory. That means I am that glory of God. And the more I look into that image, I'm changing to what I see. If I'm changing to the image, then my fellow believer is also changing to the same image. So you and I must understand that image, identity is crucial. Identity is critical. I'll take you back again to that, you know, Ephesians 4. Where Paul said, let him that stole steal no more. Isn't it interesting? Paul didn't say, tell that thief. Paul didn't call him what God didn't call him. He said, let him that stole. It is a he that stole. It is a he that lied. It is a he that whatever, fill in the blank spaces. You don't name the believer names not in Christ. They are named after Christ. They are named in Christ. So he says, let him that stole, and see how Paul said it. Let him that stole steal no more. Isn't it exciting? He didn't say, let him that stole go for deliverance. That means the ability to stop anything is inside a new creation. Let him that stole steal no more. I mean, just like that, steal no more. Ha. That means let him that lies, lie no more. Whatever it is, it means... you can. Someone says, how can I stop it? It's gripping me. No, sin doesn't have dominion over you. It is God that is now at work in you, both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. So God is not working in you to lie. He's not working in you to cheat. He's not working in you to steal. But we do these things, yes. So if these things are true, why do believers do them? We'll get there before we're done, I believe. But since we're touching a little bit, one principle, three angles. Jesus died for everybody on the earth, yeah? And so he shed his blood for everybody, but everybody's not saved. Why? They've not taken advantage of salvation. The same way he took away our sins, he took away our healing, right? But everybody's not healed. Why? They've not taken advantage of his healing. Oh, therefore, he's taken the power of sin from every believer. But why do we sin? Same principle. We've not taken advantage of what he's made available. So what the believer needs to do is take advantage. But you can't take advantage of what you are not aware of. You can't take advantage of what you are ignorant of. And that's why we're learning this precious, precious truth. Praise God. You know, it's just, you know, exciting to understand, you know, that we need to sink this into ourselves again and again. Glory. You know, thank you, Lord Jesus. So, my case anyway, for a new Christian, hope I made it a bit clear. We cannot relegate the teaching of the new Christian to foundation classes. We cannot, we shouldn't. Now we have been, so that means we can, but we shouldn't. We shouldn't relegate it and say, you know, just foundation school stuff. No. Because when, oh, glory to God. You know, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, behold what manner of love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. He says, we do not yet know what he would be like, but when we see him, we shall see him as he is. Why? Because we're just like him. Just like him. Now, I've put one and two together there, you know. But it's exciting to know that when I see him, I would look like him. That means if I would look like him when I see him, I'm just like him now. Isn't this exciting? So who is the new creation? Who is this new creation? What's this new creation thinking? Why must we think this way? Because guys, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says we should not be conformed to this world. But you and I should be transformed by the renewing of our minds. It means we have two options. Conform, transform. Alright? A lot's going on all over the world right now. And believers are easily conforming. You conform to what you hear on the news. You conform to everything. You know? And then we say we apply wisdom. No. We're conforming. We need to sometimes learn to call a spade. You conform. You know? So what do? You transform. How? You renew your mind. The mind is the agent of renewal. The mind also is the agent of conformity. When you blast your mind with the things you hear on TV, maybe you hear so much about fear. Maybe you hear so much about adultery and how that this person's husband had to cheat on the wife and this person's wife had to cheat on the husband. And then you hear that and then you watch one movie after the other where that happens. It will sell the picture into your mind. Then it affects you. We are not conformed. We are not conformed. We are not conformed to this world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. So we're going to run through point after point today that will help you and I to realize the beauty of this new creation. And if you're watching me and you're born again, which I would assume and believe most of us watching or listening are, please take this thing seriously. I would use the familiar. I would run with the familiar, but take it serious. All right, first is the new creation is a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, if any man be in Christ, the same is a new creature. This person is new. You know that already. I know you do. But it ought to define our thinking. And I've come to understand from Hebrews that when we do not hold on to the things we believe, they slip away. We start thinking in ways we shouldn't think. The new creature is a new creature. The new creation is a new creation. The word new there is not the word new for refurbish. You know, there's a way I could say, oh, something is new. You know, something is, you know, we could change the upholstery on a set of chairs. And then you come into the house and like, oh my goodness, do we have new chairs in the house? Yes, new in that they were repackaged, but not new because the same chair. All right, you could take a beat down car, all right, and then do the body work, you know, repaint it, change colors, change rims. And then it just shows up as a brand new car, but it's not. Same old engine, same old car, it's just some body work. So the new creation is not refurbished. The new creation is new, a species that never existed before. Never has this kind been seen. I know, you know, Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. No, he had never met the new creation.
He didn't know about the new creation. He didn't know about those that were coming that he had never seen, never knew, never heard. Oh, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. What's special about this new creation? You need to realize that there are two creations. Of, if I speak the language of 1 Corinthians 15, there are two Adams. All right, so there is the first Adam you find in Genesis, and then we have the last Adam. So as the first Adam was the first man of that creation, Jesus is the last Adam of the next creation. So our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, all of us stemmed from Adam, from the first man of that creation, well, that order, that which is born of the flesh, flesh just like Adam. Oh, but glory to God. Bible calls Jesus the firstborn from the dead. He is now the new Adam, the Adam of a whole new world. So just the same way Jesus died and came again into new life, everybody born again enters a new life. All right, Romans 6 tells us that you've come into a newness of life. So I know when you get born again, your body's the same, your hair doesn't grow or change color, your height doesn't change, your taste buds don't change, and then your mind doesn't change. You don't get back from church or, you know, your room where you got born again, and you see your brother and you're like, excuse me, who are you? Have we met? No, your mind is intact. Now, because the mind is the same and then the body is the same, we get to easily question, has anything changed? But so much has changed. Your past has been wiped out. Nobody will go into a hospital and see a newborn baby, you know, and pick the baby up and say, oh, precious little chuku 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 chuku, you know, and then play with the baby a little bit and say, I wonder what kind of life this kid lived in the past. If you say such, you know, people will look at you like you dropped from where now? Maybe the moon or something, you know, but nobody will do that. In the same way, you don't look at a new creation and say, I wonder what kind of life she's lived in the past. Why? Because a new creation got no past. New creation. Why? Because the old man is dead. Oh, Paul says in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, Christ lives in me. The life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. So the old man is crucified. So what the new creation needs to learn, and which we're learning, is how to put off in consciousness the old man. Put on in consciousness the new man. Well, let's take this as it goes, all right? So the new creation is a new creation. Yes, tell yourself, I'm new. I'm new. I'm new. I know some old habits follow through. You know, some things we did when we're not born again still follow through, but the way to fight the fight of faith with those habits is to stare them in their ugly face and say, hey, I'm new. The control you had over me and the guy you had that control over is gone. Ephesians 2 from verse 1 says, we has he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. So the new creation must read the epistles to understand who he is. Oh, this is amazing. You are new. You don't need deliverance. If Paul didn't say the guy who stole needed deliverance, you don't need deliverance. You don't need, I used to, you know, wet the bed before I got born again. Now I still wet the bed right now. No, the new you now has the capacity to stop anything. Oh, because the new you has the greater one living inside of him. The new you has the ability to put an end to things. Oh, glory to God. The new creation is new. Oh, maybe you're there saying, but these things happen in my family. My dad had this sickness, and then my uncle had this sickness, and I was told that was what killed my grandpa. And then they told me it killed my great-grandpa. And then I'm getting to that age, you know, that late 40s and that maybe late 30s or that mid-20s where these things going to happen to them, and I think it's just hereditary. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Your parents gave birth to that part of you, but the one born of the Spirit is filled with the Holy Ghost. You are the one with the new life. You're new. Your mind might remind you of things. Your mind might pull you back. You might even maybe get into a fight the day after you got born again, or the evening of the day you got born again. And then your friends say, oh, I thought you were a Christian. Yes, you are. Remember what Jesus said to the devil when he said to him, you know, if you are the Son of God, command the stone to be turned bread.
That means he could have just, on the other hand, said, since you cannot turn the stone to become bread, then you are not the Son of God. No. Now, we're not asking you to go get into fights, but you are a new creation. All right? You didn't have to get into the fight, but getting into that fight doesn't deny who you are in Christ. You are a new creation. Your spirit is wall to wall Holy Ghost. You're full of the Holy Ghost on your inside. All right? Your mind needs a renewal. Your body needs to be put under. But there's a new man. New man. Hello, new man. Maybe you need to try say that to yourself a bit. You know, put, you know, Larry Newman, you know, Alex Newman, David Newman, Kimberly Newman, you know, Richard Newman, Nika Newman, you know, Kalu Newman, whatever your name is, all right? Newman. And just meditate on it for a while. This is it. Because we get familiar. I'll tell you this story. So I have this, you know, person dear to me, and then he realized, you know, from First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, you know, the Bible says the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and then God will make your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, new man, all right? So he had to start telling himself, I'm a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. Now, everybody knows that, all right? Most people do anyway, so... But he kept saying it to himself, because the truth is, when you make confessions that way and you do those kinds of meditations, it allows you to be more spirit conscious. Most of us live in the last two realms, in our soul and bodies, you know, everything academic, relational, social, and then everything physical, material, and all. So soul and body, that's where we live most of our lives. But saying, I'm a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body, helps you to keep remembering that the first and most important part is the spirit. So he said this for a while, and one day he was, you know, cleaning out his room, you know, sweeping the floor, and it just dawned on him, I'm a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body, I'm a spirit. So he ran down the stairs, and one of his friends was coming up the stairs and grabbed him, you know, and said, guess what, I'm a spirit, and the guy finished, yeah, you have a soul, you live in a body, we all know that. He said, you don't understand. And I feel him. I've been there where you meditate on something and it dawns on you. The same verse you've read like 50 times. The same verse you've read like 100 times. The same verse just all of a sudden comes alive. And they are trying to explain the same thing. Someone else goes, yeah, we know. And nah, you don't know this thing. You don't know. Same way we handle 1 Peter 2:24. Many believers fall ill. But by his stripes we've been healed. Many believers are afraid of sickness and disease, afraid. Believers are afraid of contagion. Believers are afraid of things happening. No. He took your infirmities, carried away your sicknesses. You know, there's just that, you know, you telling yourself, I've got to spend more time with this Bible through truth so it stays with me more. All right, so say, I'm a new creation. I'm a new man. I'm in Christ Jesus. Old is gone. The old life, my old life is gone. A new life is here. I'm a brand new being. I'm a brand new person. I am a new creation. Hallelujah. I've been born of the flesh, but now I'm born of the spirit. So my new life is spirit life. My new life is spirit life. Praise God. So what is special about this new creation? He was created righteous and holy. You know, we grew up, you know, being told, you know, to be righteous, being told, you know, that the righteousness of man is as a filthy rag. And yes, it's in the Bible. You know, being told, you know, that there's nobody righteous. You know, Romans 3 and verse 10. There's no one righteous. Not one. And true. No man can achieve or attain righteousness by himself. No man can achieve or attain righteousness by his own works. So Bible now tells us that this new creation was born righteous. How so? Everyone born after Adam was born in sin. Now, that's easy for everybody to understand. Every person born after Adam was born in sin. Just, you're born a sinner. You don't have to sin to be a sinner. You're just born and then you're a sinner. Same way the new creation. It wasn't born into sin. Every person Adam gave birth to came out like Adam. Every person recreated in Christ comes out like Christ. So you pick up the image of Christ, all right? So, I would play a little bit with your popular, well, our popular 1 Peter 2:9. All right. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. I know you sing it, I know you say it. He says you are, he didn't say you will be. Peter there said it based on God's image of you. But Peter also said, be holy as God is holy. It's descriptive in action form. All right? Act it. Show it. It's who you are. All right? Show it out. Display. But you are holy. You are the new creation. So Ephesians, all right? Chapter 4 and 24 says, and put on the new man, which is created after God in righteousness and true holiness. Put on the new man. Put on means to be conscious of. So you being the new man, you being born again, you have been created after God in righteousness. You have been created after God in true holiness.
2 Corinthians chapter 5 and then the 21st verse, 2 Corinthians 5, tells us, all right, that him who knew no sin was made sin for us, all right? Talking about Jesus. Now, Jesus was sinless, didn't have any sin, all right? Him who knew no sin was made sin. How do we explain this? So Jesus, okay, comes to the earth, becomes sin for every one of us, all right? Now, in Jesus taking up our sin, it means all of humanity at that point don't have any sin because he took our sin on him. He now goes to die for our sins, all right? And in him dying for our sins, God cannot punish him for sin and punish you for sin. Jesus died for your sin. But he didn't just die for your sin. So 2 Corinthians 5, 21 says, him who knew no sin was made sin for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God. Every person born again has come into resurrection. Our spirits have received the resurrection because we died together with him. Don't forget that. And then we're raised together with him. So God cannot raise an unrighteous person. I don't mean raised like Lazarus was raised. I mean raised in Christ. You can't be raised unrighteous. You are raised with Christ. You are raised like Christ. That means you're raised a new creature. You're raised righteous. You're raised holy. Oh no, I believe people need to act holy to be holy. I agree. But let's see how and to what level to which I really agree. So God tells Moses when he was in Midian, you know, watching over his father-in-law's sheep. God said to him, Moses, you know, through an angel. Anyway, all right, so Moses sees the fire, turns, you know that story. And then God says, you know, take your sandals off your feet because where you are is holy ground. Question, what did the ground do to be holy? If we have to do something to be holy. Someone says, the ground is holy because God was there. Good. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. God lives in you. If that ground was holy because God was there, then you are holy because God is in you. Wherever God is holy. God cannot live in a place that is unholy. You are holy. Now that you know you are, like Paul said to the Corinthians, don't forget where we started from. He called them saints. Then he corrected their habits and actions. But he still didn't deny they were saints. He didn't, and being saints is, you know, you're sanctified, you're holy, you're separated. So Paul is not denying who they were despite how they behaved. So same for you as a new creation. You don't say, well, I'm not holy. No, you are holy. What we need to tell you and you need to tell yourself is act like you are. Bring out that nature on your inside. Oh, this is exciting. Praise God. So we switch on, you know, still looking into this further. I like this next point, actually. So Paul is writing to the Colossian church, all right, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. And then Paul says to the Colossian church that in him, that's in Christ, dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10, he now says, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. I've got to say it again. All right, so Colossians 2 verse 9 says, in Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in Christ. 10 now says, you, the new creation, you are perfect, complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Oh, this is big.
It means when God looks at a new creation, he looks, he checks you, he scans you, he checks you, he scans you, and he says one word, flawless. God looks at you perfect. God looks at you complete. God looks at you and he's like, wow, flawless. Just flawless. Isn't that amazing? You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. This seems like, can we swallow this? Can we take this in? But we can. Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, you know, chapter 10, verse 14. Okay, let me pick it from 12 first. Chapter 12, 22 says, you've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. You've come to an innumerable company of angels. He says, you've come to the spirits of just men made perfect. You've come to where perfect spirits are. It means in Christ, only perfect spirits exist. Only perfect spirits exist. Hebrews 10, 14 says, by one offering has he perfected forever them that are being sanctified. By one offering, he perfected. There's nothing else for Jesus to come back to do. All right? So if you sing kumbaya, kumbaya, come back here, Lord, come back. No. There's nothing he's coming back to do. He did it. You say, why? Because if his work was not complete, he would not have sat down. Let me read this for you in Hebrews. All right, the book of Hebrews, still in chapter 10. You know, just quite an amazing revelation in the Bible. Oh, dear Lord. It's amazing that we spend so much time in the Old Testament that when we read, you know, the New Testament, it's a bit fuzzy. But you don't try to, you know, read the New Testament with your mind running back again and again to the Old Testament. No, you read the Old Testament and interpret it with what you've understood from. So Hebrews chapter 10, all right, in the 11th verse of Hebrews 10 says, and every high priest stands daily. Please note the word stand, because we're going to pick it very soon. And every high priest stands daily and offers oftentimes the same sacrifices that can never take away sin. It means in the temple, when you get in there, there's no waiting room, there's no couch, there's no lounge, there's nothing, there's no seating area. Every one of them is standing. Every priest stands daily. Too many sacrifices for sin to attend to, too many things to do every day, wave offering, sin offering, peace up. I mean, every day they were busy doing something, they couldn't sit. So I'll pick that verse again. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifice that can never take away sin. Verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. He sat. Glory to God. It means if the job wasn't complete, he would never have sat. And the priest couldn't sit because their jobs were not complete. So Jesus, he's sitting down means a lot. You need to get this. Let's see the same Hebrews in chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says, who, Jesus, now being the brightness of God's glory and the express image of God's person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. When he had by himself purged our sins, then he sat down. It means if our sins were not purged, there was no sitting down. If the job wasn't complete, there was no sitting down. If man can now not approach God with righteousness and holiness, there was no sitting down. If a new creation will not be born holy, then there's no sitting down. It means he would need to come again and shed his blood again. And then we'll take Jesus back to the Old Testament. You know, I remember a couple of years ago, you know, I was a bit younger then. And then there was this office hour fellowship I was a part of, you know, at a place where I did my internship. You know, and then we get there in the morning, we had this morning devotion. So they gave some of us interns the opportunity to, you know, either exhort or lead prayer.
You know, so when it's my turn to lead the prayer, so I get there and then lead prayer. I remember a particular incident now. So I led prayer that day, and, you know, a fellow intern was, you know, exhorting them. So he came up after me, appreciated the prayer, that it was really great. You know, but I said there was something my colleague, you know, left out, you know, and that's a fact that he allowed us to approach God without us confessing our sins. So let us all, you know, just confess, you know, our sins. So everybody, you know, Father, forgive us for all the things we've committed knowingly or unknowingly, you know, and then all those things, you know, we get to do. And I understood where they were coming from because I'd been there, you know. Took me a while, but he and I spent time in fellowship, and he got a lot of it, you know. Someone says, so, but what's wrong with that? Every time they offered sin offerings or offerings in the Old Testament, it brought about a remembrance of sin. So before they approach God, we can't approach him. We need to go cleanse ourselves. Maybe we sinned. So we've brought that practice into the new covenant. So God might ask you to go pray for someone and say, before I pray for a person, let me check if I'm okay. Let me confess my sin. You know, God might ask you to do something and say, now. For you who know you've done something and you're acting like you didn't, that's a different case. Why don't you just get it over with? Lord, I'm sorry for what I did. So that's what I'm dealing with here. I'm not asking you to, you know, gloat over your wrong and say there's nothing wrong. You know, there's something wrong when you're wrong. You're wrong about it, all right? And sin in the New Testament is a bit more delicate. All right? Bible says to him that knows what to do and does it not, to him is sin. So it's a lot more interesting, all right? Whatever is not done of faith is sin. It gets more interesting in the New Testament. So, but, you know, you find believers, you know, God, I cannot come to approach you until I confess my sin. Hebrews 4:16 says, come boldly before the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace. And it's just amazing. It sounds like, what's the word now? Like an irony or something, or a paradox. How do you tell someone to come boldly and the person needs mercy? The person who needs mercy should come cringing, should come uncertain, should come, oh God, have mercy on me. Bible says, come boldly. You want mercy? Come for it. Run for it. Jump for it. Come boldly before the throne of grace and obtain mercy to find grace. And, you know, and then you find grace to help you in every time of need. It's interesting. It's just wonderful. I like to tell people this. All right. So you and I should run through, you know, because, okay, so maybe most times this is my clincher. You know, when I meet people who argue over or, you know, want to talk about, we've got to always confess our sins before we can ever, ever talk to God. I'm like, even when Jesus taught them prayer in the Old Testament, he didn't do that. How? Let's run through the Lord's Prayer together, what we call the Lord's Prayer. Okay, so it says, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And then that's praise and worship. Kind of like over, right? Then we enter that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he enters asking for provision. Give us this day our daily bread. We're asking. Give us this day our daily bread before he gets to forgive us our sins. So even Jesus didn't ask them to confess him before anything started. Hope I didn't just blow someone's religious cap off. All right, let it fly in the air. All right, just you catch it later. But you realize that the understanding of who you are in Christ beats any kind of understanding that you want. It just beats it. Praise God. So still on our point. Bible says you're perfect. You're holy. You're perfect. You're holy. Now we need to put this together. The word perfect here is complete. There's another word for perfect, which is the word mature. So you find that in Ephesians, all right, chapter 4, in Ephesians from 11, it says, and he gave gifts unto many. Gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. So how do you perfect what is already perfect? So people argue, then that means you're not perfect. No, your spirit is perfect. Don't forget Hebrews 12, 23rd verse. Man is spirit, soul, body. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23 tells us that. Your spirit is flawless. There's no error in your spirit. Oh dear. Listen, there's no fear inside your spirit. You're afraid of the dark. You're afraid of cluster. You're afraid of crowd. Well, claustrophobic. You're afraid of whatever. You're afraid of needles. You're afraid of hospitals. You're afraid of whatever it is. You're afraid of sickness, death.
Do you know there's no fear in your spirit? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, God has not given you the spirit of fear. So inside your spirit, there's no fear. Where then is the fear coming from? The mind. All right? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but might through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. The mind. That's where the war is. There's no fear in your spirit. None at all. Your spirit is fearless. So you don't say, oh, I confess God's word until the spirit left, until fear left my spirit. No, God hasn't given you the spirit of fear. Check the whole of your spirit. There's no fear inside. Do you know there's no hatred in your spirit? None at all. No hatred inside of you. I said, how? Romans chapter 5, verse 5. For the love of God has been poured out into your heart by the Holy Ghost. I hate them. I hate them. Yes, your soul is filled with bitterness and anger and things you're not comfortable with, but your spirit has none of it. None. None. You're born of love. You're born of God. So the nature of God, which is love, is what you have. So that's why the Bible talks in Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit, and it's love. Those are the things you have. Love, joy, peace, love. Those are the things you have in you. You don't have, you know, you don't have all the other stuff inside you. That's why they are called works of the flesh. That already explains to you that they are external. They're external. They are not within you. Isn't it strange? I'm born of love. Love is my nature. Love is in me. I can love. I love. I am love. That's who you are. Fearless. Love. It's who you are. There's no sickness inside your spirit. Himself took your infirmities. Himself carried away your own sicknesses. The chastisement of his peace, I mean your peace, was laid on him. With his own stripes, you were healed. Himself took your infirmities, carried away your sicknesses. There's no sickness in your spirit. How can there be when the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead lives inside of you? None. So the new creation must understand his or her rights in Christ, his or her inheritance in Christ. And then you view yourself from that point of view. That would help us fight this fight better. There's no broke new creation. We might walk through this earth, you know, on welfare, you know, survive on welfare, live from hand to mouth, you know, maybe there's someone watching me right now, maybe listening, and then you've had a bad year. Things really go bad and you're wondering, oh God, what's going to happen to my life? There's no broke new creature. Ephesians 1 and 3 says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Isn't this special? You are the blessed one. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. 8 and 9. For though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Some could argue and say, well, that's not material prosperity. You enter verse 9 and begins to talk about the fact that God gives seed to the sower. He gives bread to the eater. He multiplies seed sown. It sounds material. He says God is able to multiply your seed sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. Sounds material. Sounds like he's simply saying he's provided. Philippians 4:19, my God, supply all your need. Psalm 22 verse 1, the Lord is your shepherd. But you know, we could walk through life not enjoying the health that is available or the resources available, and then you're not going to enter heaven and be poor in heaven. Not possible. How did I know? There's a case of Lazarus and the rich man. Isn't it interesting? The rich man had so much abundance. And then Lazarus was the beggar by the gate who had animals, dogs, now licking his sores. And then two people die. You could have thought that Lazarus had a first-class ticket to the poor people's estate. And then the rich man, you know, no. Your physical state is not always your spiritual state. And a new creation must understand that. So the believer lives from inside out. You view things from inside out, not from outside in. You don't say, oh, I'm sick, so I must be sick. Oh, I'm confused, so I must be confused.
Oh, I'm broke, so I must be broke. That's not the portion of the new creation. No, inside you, you're not sick. Inside you, you are not confused. How did I know? Because 1 John 2:20 says you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. 1 John 2:20, yeah. You have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Yes, you. You might still have failed a professional exam. You might still have lost your car key and couldn't find it for the last 4 hours. Bible says in your spirit is enough revelation to light up your life. Because Jesus in John 8 verse 12 says, I am the light of the world. Anybody that follows me will not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. You are the child of light. So stumbling around confused is not your portion. Oh, I am new creation. I am light. I am love. I am fearless. This is who you are. This is who you are. Knowing who you are is the best gift you could give to yourself. Knowing what Jesus has done for you, what he's made you to be, is a great gift that you could give to your own self and every other believer around you. It will put an end to this confusion. It will put an end to low self-esteem. You know, so Ephesians 4, for instance, again, you know, says God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and their job is to perfect the saints. You know, so because you're called an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, pastor, teacher, you feel, well, our job is to perfect the saints, so we're a special category. Nah, it's a privilege. All right, and every member of the body of Christ, which Ephesians 4:7 says that grace has been given to every one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul was speaking, explained that different parts of the body have different functions. So yes, someone might not be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, but we all are sons of God. We all are seated together with him. Now we honor the ministry gifts because of the work that God has given to them. We honor them. Bible teaches us to honor. But you're not inferior. Same for husband and wife. Nobody's inferior. Peter makes it clear when he wrote and said, husbands, treat your wife with understanding. He said, because you are both heirs of the same grace of life. There's no male or female in Christ. Everybody, you're out there, you have a child. That child of yours is your brother in Christ. At the end of the day, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. So God's not going to reward you because of the position of power that you were able to wield on this earth, but based on the responsibility committed to you. No wonder Paul in Colossians said, say to Archippus to take heed to the ministry which he has received and to see that he fulfills it. That's what matters. So whatever you find doing and the Lord will ask you to do, do it faithfully and do it well. Oh, glory to God. Isn't this exciting? Could I just ask you to lift your hands when you are and just thank him, you know? We'll continue, but just sense a pause. Just thank him for who he's made you to be, who you are in him, 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 who you are in him. Just go ahead and just acknowledge him. Oh, thank you for making me righteous, making me holy. Thank you because Jesus took away my infirmities, took away my sin, and made me the righteousness of God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you because I am righteous. I am holy. I am righteous. I'm holy. I give you praise. I'm righteous and holy. I'm righteous and holy. Just go ahead. Thank him. Oh, we thank you. We bless you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. I'm a new creature. The old is gone. The new has come. The old is gone. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The old is gone. The new has come. I am complete. Flawless, flawless, flawless. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I need to emphasize something you need to know tonight, today, this, whatever your time zone is. There's nothing wrong with you. You might have lost 3 jobs in the last 1 or 2 years. You might have broken 5 relationships in the last 12 months. You might have lost a baby or two. You might have lost your marriage. You might have lost something. Or people might just have looked down on you. Why are you so
fat? Why are you too skinny? Why are you so short? Why can't you play basketball like everybody? Why can't you, you know, and everybody's looked down on you and just made you feel like an alien. There's nothing wrong with you. Say that. There's nothing wrong with me. Listen, God looks at you in Christ perfect. Ephesians 1 and verse 6 says we've been accepted in the beloved. When God looks at you, he sees the finished work of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says you are God's workmanship, recreated in Christ. A workmanship, it's the handiwork of a craftsman, like a sculptor. It means God sat down and chiseled you out of that wood. He carved you out. You are God's own handiwork. You are God's own sculpture. And God would not make, one funny looking, bin worthy sculpture. God is a master crafter. He's a master sculptor. He is the master designer, master architect, master planner. If he says he recreated you, if he says he formed and he fashioned you, child of God, there's nothing wrong with you. Oh, but Paul says there's something wrong with him. No, Paul said in this flesh, that's Romans chapter 7. It's the flesh. That's where the issue always is. It's in between the mind and the body. That's where the issue always is. There's nothing wrong with you. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. You are perfect. Colossians 2 and 10 again says concerning you, you are complete in him who is ahead of all principality and power. Complete. Perfect. Perfect. Oh my goodness. How else can we explain this? We just said there's no fault in you. There's no fear in you. There's no failure in you. There's no sickness in you. There's no confusion in you. There's no stupid person in you. There's no confused person in you. Nothing is wrong with you. But I'm just the dumbest of the dumb, not you. Your mind needs to be renewed. We need to pull from the resources of your spirit to train your mind. For Paul says, oh, the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed. So we can pull from the ability in your spirit to affect your mind. Don't call yourself dumb. Don't call yourself a failure. You are the image of Christ. Don't call yourself stupid. You are the righteousness of God. Don't commit suicide. Don't contemplate it. Oh, but I'm hopeless. No, you're not. You just focus on the wrong things. Focus on who you are. There's nothing wrong with you. Well, how come all the guys never stayed and then they left me? Maybe they left because you don't even know who you are. Gold doesn't beg for buyers. You need to know who you are. And Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You are treasured. If there were only 3 people on this earth and you were one of them, Jesus would still have died. If there was just 1 person left on earth and it was you, he would still have died. You are loved. You are special. There's nothing wrong with you. Can you just say that where you're seated, where you're watching? There's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with me. You need to fight it. Maybe you need to get up and take a walk in your living room, wherever you are, and say nothing. Maybe when the last boss you had fired you, the person washed you down with words, talked about how irresponsible and how much you lack skill and you lack competence and how it was just, you know, a very big blunder that I hired in the first place. Man's words should never take more value in your life than God's words. There's nothing wrong with you. And I need to say this also. Don't let another believer feel there's something wrong with them. Stir them up. Let a fellow Christian have value. Let them be glad they came around you. Don't call people stupid. Don't call people senseless. Don't call them dumb. The disciples did very many dumb stuff. But Jesus never called them dumb. When he told them, he asked Philip, how are we going to feed these people? And Philip didn't have an answer. He said, dumb. I knew you won't have the answer. Because you're dumb. He had chances of calling them names. He just never did. Never do, please. Have a value for yourself. But you'll be very selfish to value yourself and not value everybody else. That'll be myopic value. He didn't die for you alone. He would have if it was only you. But you know it wasn't only you. You have brothers and sisters. It's a family. Oh, but there's nothing wrong with you. There's a lot in the mind we need to correct. A lot about our bodies we need to put under. But nothing wrong with your spirit. Say, I'm perfect. I'm flawless. I'm complete. I'm complete. I'm complete. He made me perfect. Yes, we now need to. Don't forget Ephesians 4, perfect. That's the word mature. To bring into fullness in the expression of the soul and the body, not the spirit. Your spirit is flawless. It is exciting, isn't it? Oh, there's nothing wrong with us. Nothing is wrong with me. Why are you broke? Hold on. Just say there's nothing wrong with you because there's nothing. But why are you sick again and again and you're not getting healed? Hold on. At least remind yourself, nothing is wrong with me. Now I know that this product of God is perfect. Now I know I don't have to remain this way forever because this product was perfected. Finished, and God blew it a kiss. I'm fine like as I am. Oh, but my mind might be messed up. Yes, but there's nothing wrong with your spirit. So we're going to learn who we are after this beautiful event and every opportunity we have to come your way. We're going to be pushing this out so that you understand yourself. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, another point I need to explain, and that's... Galatians chapter 3. Very interesting. I like Galatians chapter 3. Galatians happens to be one of my favorite epistles in the Bible. You know, Galatians 3 from verse 16. Well, I'll pick 13 and 14 first of all. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangs on a tree. It says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So this clearly tells us that Abraham's blessing belongs to us. But have you ever wondered if you really qualify for Abraham's blessing? Ever gone to Deuteronomy 28, for instance, and you read Moses telling them, if you hearken diligently to the words that I command you today, then you will be blessed. And then you say, oh, I really can't enjoy this blessing because I've not hearkened to the word. I've not listened to the word. And then there are very many commandments I find in scripture that have conditions attached. So if I do not do what I'm told to do, then I won't get this blessing. But please understand this. It's not the blessing of Moses you're trying to get. It's a blessing of Abraham. Not the blessing. You need to get this. I like this. It's interesting. Verse 14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. How does this work? Verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He didn't say seeds as of many, but as of one. To your seed, and that is Christ. I'll take that again. Now to Abraham and his seed, where the promise is made. He saith not to seeds as of many, but
but as of one unto thy seed. And it's Christ. Beautiful revelation. You know, when we count the blessings of Abraham, we'd say, okay, Abraham transferred it to Isaac, and Isaac to Jacob, and Jacob to Joseph, and then it went down the nation of Israel to 12 tribes. Bible gives us a revelation here that when God blessed Abraham, God said, this blessing, Abraham, is to you and your seed. To you and your seed. And Bible reveals that that seed wasn't Isaac. That when God said to Abraham, this blessing is to you and your seed, it was to him and to Christ. Oh, this is amazing. To Abraham and to Christ. To Abraham and to Christ. That means Jesus is the recipient of every blessing that was given to Abraham. And it was beyond the material, but the material is inclusive of it now. So the 29th verse now says, if you, yes, you the new creation, if you belong to Christ, then you are the seed of Abraham and you are the inheritor of the Abrahamic blessing. Hallelujah. This is exciting. If you belong to Christ, if you belong to Christ, that means every person in Christ, you remember if any man be in Christ, every person in Christ is now, so let's do that again. So God blessed Abraham and his seed, Abraham and his seed, Abraham and his seed. So the Bible says that that seed of Abraham is Christ. Now, Christ is the blesser. Why does he need the blessing? So he doesn't need the blessing. So Christ is only standing in place for someone coming. Who's that person? It says Abraham and his seed. So we find out in verse 16, Galatians 3, the seed is Christ. It now says in verse 29, if you belong to Christ, then you are the seed of Abraham. That means you can now read verse 16 this way. You say, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He doesn't say to seeds as of many. It says as of one and to thy seed, which is me. Can we say that? Yes, by the authority of scripture. Verse 29 again says, if you belong to Christ, then you are the seed of Abraham and you are the heir according to the promise. Hallelujah. I'm the seed of Abraham. 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 But he's saying I don't have any condition or anything to fulfill. Let's go now to verse 17 and into 18. For this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which came 430 years later, cannot disannul it, that it should make the promise of no effect. This is beautiful. Let's read it again. And this I say, that the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, which was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which came 430 years later, cannot disannul it. Which means, which came first? Who came first? Abraham or Moses? Abraham came first. And when God blessed Abraham, there were no conditions attached. When God blessed Abraham and his seed, there was no condition attached. It was freely given, freely promised, freely received. God blessed Abraham and his seed. What was the condition Isaac fulfilled? Listen, you can't find one, don't look for it. What was the blessing or the condition that Jacob fulfilled? Don't forget, God met him at Bethel when he made stone for pillow. And God said to him, I am the God of your fathers, Abraham and Isaac. And I'm telling you today that I'm going to be with you in the land you're going. I'm going to bless you. And I will make sure I fulfill all that I promised them to do. At that time, nothing had been done by Jacob that was good. And God said, I'm committed to blessing you. Genesis 26, we find God doing the same thing to Isaac. He said, I'm the God of your father, Abraham, and I'm going to bless you. I made a promise, I owe your daddy. I owe your daddy. That means God was busy hunting down the children of Abraham so he could bless them. Woo! I love how that sounds. God was busy hunting down the children of Abraham. God found Isaac and said, I found you, boy. I'm blessing you. He says, why? Because you're the child of Abraham. I gotta bless you. I promise your daddy to bless you. I gotta bless you. God hunted down Jacob. God blessed him. God hunted down Joseph in Egypt and blessed him. God is busy hunting down the children of Abraham. And because you are in Christ, you are the child of Abraham. God is hunting you down. Or better yet, he's hunted you, right? He's found you. He's found you. He's found you only to bless you.
to radically pour blessings on you because he made a promise to Abraham. And like we always said, the promise is a debt. So God promised Abraham to bless you, and that's all God's got to do. Bless you, bless you, bless you. So Abraham came and received the promise before Moses came. So Moses shows up 430 years later and says, listen, if you're going to enjoy the blessing of Abraham, you're going to have to go through X, Y, Z, L, M, Q, M, P, R, and all that. So everybody now queues up behind Moses and says, okay, we've got to do everything you're asking us to do so that we can be blessed. So everybody's now queuing up to try to hearken to the law, to try to obey the law, to get blessed. But Bible is saying that wasn't what it was from the beginning. That's not what God did from the beginning. So we need to see that verse 17 again and the 18th verse of Galatians chapter 3. And this I say, that a covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years later cannot disannul it, that should make the promise of no effect. So the law of Moses cannot make this of no effect. The clincher for me is the 18th verse. I look forward to when I could do a series, or when I will do a series about this, all right? The law and faith. It would be awesome. I need to do that soon. Now the 18th verse says, for if the inheritance is of the law, then it is no longer a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Take that again. If the inheritance, if you having to inherit the blessing, if it's by law, if it's by having to do something, then it's no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise, not by law. You are not the child of Moses. Stop trying to reach out to God through Moses. You're not a child of conditions. You're the child that was freely born. Freely born. Freely born. Woo! Freely born. Glory to God. Freely born. Oh, this is exciting. It just gets me joyful. Hallelujah. This is beautiful. Praise God. You are the seed of Abraham. You are not a slave. I know you like to sing, I'm not a slave to fear. You need to understand what he's saying. Because the Israelites were slaves. They were brought out of slavery into sonship when Christ came. They were slaves. They were slaves. So they are the ones that need to reach out to God through do's and don'ts. You are that child of liberty. You are the child of light. You are the child of blessing. So I'll take 2 points and thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Paul said, don't you know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? Don't you know that you are the temple of God? Don't you know? This is one of the biggest revelations in the entire Bible. You say, why? Because the people in the Old Testament never had access to God like we do. The guys in the Old Testament never could reach out to God. They, if you remember when God spoke to them from the mountain, they said, Moses, we don't want to hear him again. You talk to him. Whatever he says to you, you come tell us. You remember anytime God wants to meet with Moses at the tent of meeting, everybody stays back at home. Only Joshua stays near the tent door. Moses goes in. Moses is inside, just talking to God. And then the cloud of glory descends upon the tent. God and Moses begin to talk. And Moses comes back and everybody only hears what God said to Moses. The children of Israel could not write God's name without first taking a bath. They could never approach the temple. They couldn't, you couldn't get into the place where sacrifices were made, the holy place, without being a priest. And even priests couldn't get into the holy place if they were not the high priest. And even high priests couldn't even enter that same holy place except it was appointed. So what was in the holy place? The Ark of the Covenant, with the cherubims that cover, then the mercy seat, the table of stones, the shewbread, Aaron's rod. Everything was there, and they just never could, they couldn't come close or else they would die. You remember the case of Uzzah, who tried helping the ark when it staggered because it was carried on ox, and then he died. So every child of God, every Israelite, push back from the ark, and you and I are just different. What they feared that was in the ark or on the ark now freely lives inside you. Oh, goodness. Bible doesn't now call you the ark, calls you the temple. You are the temple. You are that temple. You are that temple. And it's amazing how as believers we wake up trying to find a temple. Now, I'm not saying this, you know, derogatively about going to church. No. But I'm saying that, you know, when you start quoting to yourself, you know, I'm going to church today, praise God. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of God. House of God is looking for house of God. You are now the house of God. God lives in you. You are now the temple. So you don't say what David said. David didn't. If David had God live in him, his life would have been super made. You now have what David never had. So you don't say I'll enter his gates with thanksgiving. I get the context of, you know, protocol for prayer, you know, so start with praise and worship. And I get that context. But don't take it back to the Old Testament of I went. You're seated together with him in heavenly places, right? So when you want to pray, you didn't come down your seat in heaven and then walk out of the gates of heaven. Then you now want to try coming back through the gate, and then you're entering the gates all over again, and then you're coming in and coming in. That's not what you're doing. That's not what's going on. You're not entering the gates. You're always in his presence. The new creation was born into God's presence. You're not born outside and brought in. You were raised up together with Christ. Born into his presence. Your life is hid with Christ in God. You are belonging every day. Everything about you is the presence of God. That's why when we close services, you hardly would hear us say things like, we had a great time in God's presence today. I get the context once again. But we're not having a great time in his presence and then we're leaving him. No, we're always in his presence. So don't talk like David. You're not David. We have a better covenant established upon better promises. So we don't approach God's presence. Prayer is not approaching him. Prayer is talking to him. He's always with you. Never leaving you. He's always with you. So you're not going to God in prayer. You just talk to God. Don't talk like a preacher. Don't talk like the guys in the Old Testament. You talk like Jesus. Jesus said, my Father is always with me. That's how you talk as a new creature. That's how you talk as a person in Christ. You know, maybe you have this place in your home where you get to pray. Don't say, well, you know, there's this place where I meet with God. Kai, no. God meets with you inside you. He's moved into you. You remember what Jesus said in John chapter 2? They said to him, show us a sign. He said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. They said, how come? How would you do that? This temple was built in 46 years. Would you just build it in 3 days? Bible said they did not know that he spoke of the temple of his own body. God is no more in homes or houses or temples. In John chapter 4, Jesus spoke to the woman at the well. She said, wow, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worship God on this mountain. You Jews say that in Jerusalem is a place to worship. Two locations there. Mountain as a location, Jerusalem as a next location. Jesus said, well, the hour comes, guys, and now is where the true worshiper will worship. And he mentioned a third location, in the spirit. I know believers like to go to Jerusalem. I mean, it's fun. I shoot too soon. It's a good place. I mean, let's see the physical place where a whole lot of things happen. But don't go there and say, man, if I pray in Jerusalem. Solomon said, when we pray, our prayers are answered. That was Solomon. The man in Christ is a prayer house. You yourself are the temple. You yourself are the prayer. You yourself are that place. So you don't say, when I get to the temple, I'll pray. God says, this is now my own temple. Remember what God said to David? You don't build me a house to live. I don't live in houses built with human hands. I will sort my house by myself. So we now hear God say to David, your son will build me a house. All of us are looking for the house that Solomon will build. No, the son is Christ Jesus. And he's built a house for God. And that house is your recreated spirit. God now moves into you, lives in you. There's nothing wrong with you. You are just that walking, breathing, moving temple of the Holy Ghost. Anywhere you go, God goes. So you don't say, oh God, go with me. No, when you get up, he gets up. He's always with you and in you. So he might have this special place you pray. It's wonderful to have such. But don't say, that's where I meet him. No, he doesn't leave you. Always with you. Never leaving you. Oh, pastor, the kinds of prayers I've prayed in that place has become a portal. When I start praying there, heaven just opens. Nah. I don't see which heaven needs to open if you're already seated in heaven. You're not on a lower place that's opening. Nothing is opening. You're in heaven with him. You're seated with him. So which heaven needs to open now? You're with him in heavenly places already. That's what Bible Colossians 3 says, if so be that that's where you sit, set your mind there. Stop looking for heavens to open and grace to pour. No, you are seated in the place of grace. You are seated in the very throne room itself, at the right hand of the Father. But what about the potters? You are now the potter. You are the house of God. Bible tells us that when Jacob slept on stone, he saw that angels were ascending and descending. He said, I didn't know that this is the house of God, because God met him there. Then you find Jesus in John chapter 1 telling Nathanael, oh, because I said I saw you before Philip called you, you're amazed. You will soon see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So he says he is the connector. No wonder he said, I am the way. Now we are in him. We are now the way. We are in Christ the way. We are with him. One, glory to God. I don't look for a portal. I am inside the way. I've passed through the way. I am now way to people that are wayless. I am the revealer to them. The new creation must understand who he is, who she is. Who he is, who she is. You know, but pastor, some people are closer to God than some of us. Listen, and this might bust your bubble. You will never be closer to God than you already are. Yeah! I want to be close. I'm praying and fasting so I can be close. The part of you that wants to be close is your emotion. Your spirit is already united with his. 1 Corinthians 6 and 17 says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Already. He that is joined unto the Lord is one. You can't be closer than that. So what you need to do is acknowledge your spiritual union, and you see your mind gradually blend into it. John 15, Jesus clearly said, I am the vine. My Father is the husbandman. He now said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. May I ask you this? The vine has branches. So which branch is closer than the other? They are equally connected. Equally connected. He is the vine. We are branches. But some people are closer because they've taken advantage of their relationship with the Lord. They've denied the things of this world and consecrated themselves to the things of the Spirit. They've therefore engaged spiritual things more than you. Yes, they will enjoy their closeness more than you do. But everybody has equal closeness. Everybody has equal righteousness. Everybody has equal dwelling. We are together with him. Oh, but pastor, some people have spiritual inheritance more than some of us. Come on, come on, come on. Bible says you are heir of God, Romans 8, 17, an equal heir with Jesus. So if anybody has more inheritance than you, then the person should have more inheritance than Jesus. I'll take what I said again, please. I'll say it again. We have equal heir with Jesus. So no human being can have more inheritance than another human person, because we all even have the same inheritance as Jesus has. Isn't this wonderful? You are the temple. God lives in you. If you can, could you lift your hands where you are and say, God lives in me. God lives in me. God lives in me. God lives in me. Let me have you guys back up. You are the temple. What is a temple for? It's a house of prayer. It's a house of incense burning. You're a house of prayer. You're a house of incense. You're not just a temple. You're the house. You're the house. Bible says in the Amplified Version that God has made his permanent dwelling. His permanent home is in you. I am the house of God. God lives in me. I don't have to say my prayers did not go beyond the roof. It doesn't have to go beyond the roof. I am the temple. I'm the place where incense of prayer is burning consistently. I'm the place where incense of confession, right words, are burning consistently. I'm the house of worship. I'm the house of prayer. I'm the house of power. God doesn't visit me. No, he lives in me. He's not a visitor here. So you don't hear me say, God, visit me today. Visit me this week. He lives in me. He lives in me. He lives in me. God lives in me. Always in me. Living in me. Come on, go ahead. Go ahead. In an arm, go. Just sing in other tongues. In an arm, pro rabasita. Elelebo, falalaba, elelebo, shivalalaba, shigalash. Elelebo, hibalas. Such treasure. Such treasure. Oh, that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened. Oh, that we may see the reality of who we are in him. That we may see the reality of who he is in us. Oh, that the communication of our faith may be effective as you acknowledge every good thing in us, because there are only good things in us in Christ. There's no bad thing in you in Christ. There might be bad things, bad thoughts in your mind, bad actions through your flesh, but there's no bad thing in you in Christ. So the communication of your faith, child of God, is effective by acknowledging this truth, by acknowledging every good thing in you in Christ, because there are only good things in you in Christ. Nothing is wrong with you. Oh, such treasure, such treasure, such treasures you put in us, such treasures you put in us. Oh, I'm new in Christ, my Lord. I'm new in Christ, my Lord. I'm new in Christ, my Lord. No fear in me. I'm new in Christ, my Lord. No fear in me. I'm new in Christ, my Lord. No fear in me. I'm new in Christ, my Lord. No fear in me. Oh, I'm new, I'm new, I'm new, I'm new. I'm new. No hate in me. No hatred in me. No hatred in me. No. I'm new in Christ, my Lord. No hate in me. I'm new, I'm new, I'm new, I'm new. No night in me. No darkness. No night in me. No night in me. I'm new in Christ, my Lord. No night in me. I'm new, I'm new, I'm new, I'm new. No night, no night. There's no darkness. I'm a child of light. Hey, yeah. I'm new in Christ, my Lord. No night in me. I'm new, I'm new, I'm new, I'm new. No flaw. I'm flawless. I'm perfect. Woo. Hallelujah. Hey. I'm new in Christ, my Lord. No flaw in me. I'm new. I'm new. I'm new. I'm new. Christ, my Lord. No flaw. No flaw. Hey. Yavaleya. Yavala say. I'm new in Christ, my Lord. No more in me. I'm new, I'm new, I'm new in Christ. my Lord, no floor. No floor, no floor, no floor. I'm new in Christ, my Lord.
No floor in me.
Yele la lege bo shiba. Kele na lege bo shiba. Oh, such treasures we have in Christ Jesus. Yele lele bo ya ya ya. Ke la 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 ba, ye ke bo shi ke ba la la ba. Ke la ba la la ba, ya bo song. Ke la la bo shi la ba, ye ke ba ya. Ke la ba la sa la la. Oh, no floor, no floor, no floor, no floor in me. I'm new in Christ, my Lord, no floor in me. No night now, no night, no night, no night, no night, no night in me. I'm new, I'm new.
I'm new in Christ, my Lord, no night in me.
Come on, just go ahead and thank Him for who you are. Hey! The communication of your faith is effective by you acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ. All God wants you to acknowledge every day is not, oh, see how dumb I am. No. Acknowledge every new thing, every good thing in you in Christ. There's no flaw in you, no fault in you. No night, no darkness in you. No fear, no sin, no sickness in you. The communication of your faith is effective by you acknowledging every good thing in you in Christ. You cannot acknowledge what you do not know. You cannot know if you don't study the word or listen to sound teaching of God's word. I'm new in Christ, my Lord, no flaw in me. I'm new in Christ, my Lord, no flaw in me. Oh, we give you praise. I'm new in Christ, my Lord, no flaw in me. I'm new in Christ, my Lord, no flaw in me. I'm a new creation, a new man in Christ. There's no flaw in me. Say that to yourself. I was created perfect. I will renew my mind. I will put my body under, but my spirit is flawless. Flawless before a fault, flawless after I've even made a fault. I'm not defined by my fault, but I will choose from today. Please make this commitment to allow the new nature within me to superimpose itself upon my outward man. I will walk more conscious of the fruit of the spirit, of the nature of Christ in me, than allow my flesh find expression. There's nothing wrong with you. There's no flaw in you. There's no fault in you. So from today, we come together with the epistles. Know who you are. Live who you are. Glory to God. Oh, we give you praise. We give you praise. Just lift your hands and thank Him. In a What a special meeting we've had today. What a special meeting we've had today. Oh, we give a lebo shige bele lebo lebo loko do sebe le lebo shiba la la ba. Ha ha. Eh, alelo lege bo shibe le lebo shiba la la ba yege bo ya. I'm new in Christ, my Lord, no fault in me. I'm new in Christ, my Lord, no flaw in me.
I'm new in Christ, my Lord, no flaw in me. I'm new in Christ, my Lord, no flaw in me.
Just sing with us as we close today. Come on, no fault.
I'm new in Christ, my Lord, no fault in me. I'm new in Christ, my Lord, no fault in me. I'm new, you're new, I'm new in Christ, my Lord, no fault in me. Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm new in Christ, my Lord, no fault in me.
Maybe like 2-3 more times, come on.
I'm new in Christ, my Lord, no fault in me. I'm new in Christ, my Lord, no fault in me.
Yeah,
I'm new in Christ, my Lord, no fault in me. I'm new in Christ, my Lord, no fault in me.
Last time now, let's go.
I'm new in Christ, my Lord, no fault in me. I'm new, you're new.
I'm new
in Christ, my Lord, no fault in me.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you for joining in. I believe you've been blessed. It's very rich in this place. This atmosphere really is enhancing, you know. Yes. And I believe that the same, you know, power of God is available, you know, for you. I'd like to quickly just first speak a word of blessing. That pain, that hurt, that need. I speak to the pain. I call it gone in the name of Jesus. I speak to that ailment. I call it lifted now in the name of Jesus. Now, I call that need supplied. That need supplied. And I declare that that ugly situation is turned around in the name of Jesus. I declare that you enjoy the miracle power of God, and that the Spirit of God is expressed freely in all that concerns you, in the name of Jesus. Whew, glory to God. If you're watching and you're not born again, Jesus is Lord. He's Lord of our lives. He's captain of our salvation. I know you've heard of him. I just want to let you know that he died for you. If you're out there and then you don't know him, or you're not sure you're born again, quickly say with me, Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart that you came to this world, you died for me, you rose again on the third day, and now you're in heaven for me. I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. Amen. Amen. Please follow us, please, on all our social media handles, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. Please follow us. Subscribe on our, you know, Spreaker channel. You'll see the details on your screen. So please just follow us on all our social media handles. We're committed to getting God's word across to you. And please visit our website. All right. The details also appearing on your screen. Visit our website. You would find so much you could, you know, learn about us. You could download previous teachings. You could watch previous videos. And there are quite a number of messages you find available there. And if you're out there led to, you know, financially partner with this ministry or sow a seed, give financially to this ministry, the website is there for you. Just go straight to the partnership or the giving page and then just, you know, be a blessing. We are committed to taking God's word all over the world. It will be our pleasure to have you partner with us as we go about this awesome, awesome assignment. Once again, it's just so wonderful having you join us here tonight. Don't forget to subscribe to our channels on YouTube, Spreaker, follow us on, you know, Instagram, follow us on Facebook, and then follow us also on Twitter. We will be just so blessed to have you there, because we once again are committed to getting God's word out to you. I believe you've been blessed. Tuning in. See you again. Bye.
I believe you had an amazing time of fellowship. Don't forget to follow us on social media and visit our website. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Lion Rex Onosia, and I've got good news for you. You've got to keep watching this space, all right? What's coming? It's the Influence of the Spirit podcast. You heard it right. The Influence of the Spirit podcast. We will be coming at you week after week with solid nuggets, solid points on how to increase your intimacy with the Holy Ghost, growing in revelation of who you are in Christ, just walking in that enhanced life, that spirit walk life. It's going to be exciting. So please follow me on all social media handles, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. This will be amazing. It will be wonderful to grow together with you, grow in the things of the Spirit and in our walk, you know, and continuous exercise in the Holy Ghost. So looking forward to having you. Follow all the conversations we'll be having. It will be amazing. Hi, my name is Lion Rex Onosia. Welcome to my YouTube channel. Here we will be having a solid time with God's Word. We will learn who we are in Christ. Listen, there's so much God has put within us that makes a new creation. That's the born-again person, the most treasured possession on this earth. Wow, yes, and that's it really. So much to uncover. Bible says that God has put so much treasure in us. We have treasure in this earthen vessel. Imagine us week after week, episode after episode, digging in by revelation, by the help of the Holy Ghost, into all those amazing truths on who we are, what God is to us, what Christ has done for us. Imagine how much we would be, you know, edified and transformed. So please subscribe to this channel and then just turn on notifications so that once anything drops, you will be the first to know. It will be awesome being in this community with you. Looking forward to great times together. God bless you.